Good to be in church, amen? Amen. I don't know if my voice is going to make it, but we're going to give it a try. So I need some prayer warriors praying for me while I preach today. Can you hear me? Enough? All right. Maybe you can pick up the mic just a little bit on the lapel, because it's like I'm whispering. Praise the Lord. Well, Christmas is coming. You excited about that? I am excited about that. If you haven't finished your Christmas shopping, you got 1 week to go. 1 week to go. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody can hear me? I'm going to do my best. All right. Somebody might have to read scriptures for me today. So if somebody has the courage to read the scriptures, I think I might need some help today. So praise the Lord. Well, we've been talking about trust in the month of, in the last few months, actually, trust. And we've been talking about how does trust look like. When we begin to serve the Lord and things happen in our lives, circumstances happen in our lives, our reaction shows trust. You know, how do we react? Do we trust God in the storms, in the trials of life? And I really believe that God has been putting in the church and in our local body here that there's a difference between just going through the motions of life and your Christian walk and really living it in trust. There's a difference because trust looks like peace, joy. Trust looks like no worries. And I pulled out the old sermon that I did back on October 29th. What does trust look like? No fear, no worry, no instability, no murmuring, no bitterness. It's a walk of just, Lord, no matter what, I trust you. And we may not like what's happening in our lives, or things may not be going the way we planned them. But one thing about the Christian walk is that victory is assured, is ahead. And that's one thing I know about my life, and Alyssa touched on that a little bit. No matter what's hit us or hit, the church, Jesus makes it clear the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. Amen? And in that mindset of trust, what does it look like? You know, and we also talked about there's no shortcuts. You know, you can't go to the Olympics on a shortcut and be an athlete, right? There's no shortcut to training for the Olympics. There's only one way to train. And you talk to them, right? They're like on a strict diet. They don't eat certain foods. They're waking up at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., whatever times I don't like to wake up. And they're out there training, and they do this for years before the Olympics. There are no shortcuts. And in our life, there's no shortcuts. You want more of God in your life. You want His power in your life. You want to see God's hand move in a mighty way in your life. There's no shortcuts. You still have to get on your knees. Amen? You still got to pray. You got to dust off the Bible. Not in church, right? And this is great. We open our Bibles. But the daily life, the Olympic Christian life, so to speak, is not in here. It's in when you go home. It's how you're living it, how you're preparing, and there's no shortcuts. And that's what trust looks like. When we trust God, we're able to be obedient in the little things because we know it matters. We know the little things matter. So that's what we've been talking about, trust. What does it look like? So last week we learned about trusting the big picture. The big picture is real and it's there. There's a big picture plan of God in your life. And we talked about that last week. There is a big picture plan. And God loves you. And He has a plan for you. Why is it that, and all of us Christians have gone through this at one point or another in our life, why is it that, you know, when you have received Jesus Christ, when you've had that moment When God hits you and you just like were in awe of him hitting you and like being real to you. Remember that moment? And you accepted him as Savior and everything looked different. And now there was a joy and a peace and you knew you were different. And then we all go through this moment in our life when the little picture starts getting a little bit, you know, we got excited, but the little picture started getting a little bit foggy and we just start going through our life and our emotions. And next thing you look back and you got so busy with life and you look back and all of a sudden you're like, you feel like a drawing back, like God's Spirit is saying, wait, I love you. Wait, that's not all I have for you. Come. And he keeps drawing you back to this place, this secret place where you know you're right with God, like a magnet, because he loves you. And he doesn't give up. You know, that's that parable about the 99 sheep and the one sheep being lost, and then God, you know, Jesus using the parable to say, I'm going to leave all the 99 to go find you. That's real. And you feel it in your heart. That's why he keeps drawing you back to that place, that secret place, because that place where you know you're right with God, because he loves you. Amen. And it is God's will that none shall perish. It is God's will to go find and pursue you back into that place of power, of stability, of confidence, that God's with you. And you and him, you're one. And that's why he draws you back. That's why you have that in your heart. And that's special, because when he never gives up on us and he draws us back to him, it means that we belong to him. It's special. We belong to him. So there was a big picture we talked about last week. Trust it. Trust it. There's a masterpiece. There's a big picture. You are part of that big picture. You have gifts, you have talents, you have abilities that no one else has. And as long as you're coming to this church, you'll be reminded that you're supposed to use them for God, right? Right? Whatever it may be. You've got abilities and gifts. Trust the big picture. God loves you and he pursues you because there's a bigger purpose than you can even comprehend. And so now that we've established that we can trust God in the big picture, he knows what he's doing. It is also true that we can trust God with the little picture. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. There's also a small picture. You know, the big picture is the stuff that we really can't control. You know, God moving and a miracle happening and, you know, those moments where you just know God intervened, like the miracle of the sign or Eloi finding his mom, not knowing if she was dead or alive. And Eloi's sick, by the way, so pray for him today. And just those moments where they're big, you know, they're big, where God just intervenes and something happens. We can trust that God's going to do that for every one of us. Big things, big miracles. We can trust the big picture. But the little picture, you can trust it as well. And I want to use the story of Zacchaeus. So if I have a brave soul that will come up and read Zacchaeus chapter 19, 1 through 10. Do I have a brave soul? The preacher's kid? Mom volunteered you. Okay. The preacher's kid. All right. Let's see. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. So 1 through 10. Okay. So let's go. I don't think it's on.
Oh. You moved. There we go. Oh. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to him, to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide by thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest of the man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Nice. Okay. All right. You may be seated. We got one more coming a little bit later, scripture. I wanted to read this story because it's there's so many angles to the story. But it's the message of Jesus Christ about forgiveness and hope, and the most important thing, and we've talked about this over and over lately, is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Nothing else really matters. And if you think about it, we all live and we all will die. And at the end of the day, what's going to matter, and we've been studying Revelations and on Tuesdays, and the streets of gold and the emerald and the city and the New Jerusalem and how awesome. And some of our loved ones that have gone before us are dancing in those streets of gold, and that's where it's all headed, right? The big picture. And what's most important in our life is that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there's that in this story because salvation came to Zacchaeus' house. But what I wanted to focus on in this story is how Zacchaeus had no idea when he did the little thing. And the little thing was this. The little thing was that a small man climbed a tree to get a glimpse of Jesus. That's a small thing in the scheme of his life. It was a small action that could have meant nothing, right? Could have just done it, seen him, and wow, okay, that's what he looks like. Fine, go home. But no, it wasn't that way. It was a little thing, but it wasn't a little thing. And the reason it wasn't a little thing was Zacchaeus was doing, maybe for the first time in his life, was doing something that wasn't going to benefit him financially or personally or selfishly. Zacchaeus took a step that was not about Zacchaeus, in the sense of financial wealth. As a matter of fact, climbing a tree as a man, you can be ridiculed, right? Or you can be made fun of. That's not normal, right? But he didn't care. He said, I'm doing this right now for this moment, this little thing, to get a glimpse of the one that people say changes lives. That's it. How small that is. And what happened was that Zacchaeus goes up, and because of that heart, and his heart wasn't a selfish heart at that point, although he was a thief and a liar. But at that moment, his heart was about getting a glimpse of Jesus Christ for no personal gain reason, just curiosity. Is there really something better in this world? What is this thing I'm hearing about this Savior? And he got a glimpse. And what's amazing is that Jesus never saw it as a little picture, as a little thing. As soon as Jesus saw this awkwardness, he did one of those double takes, right? Like, what? And he goes to Zacchaeus, and the rest is history, as they say. He goes to his house, And Zacchaeus is a thief and a robber. And Jesus didn't even accuse him of anything. Out of the blue, out of his own heart, Jesus knew his heart was changed because out of his own will, he said, I'm going to give everything I've stolen back. Wow. There's a lot of us Christians who haven't done that yet. Amen. We think that, oh, once we get saved, then I guess, I can just forget all the past. But in this story, Jesus was impressed with Zacchaeus' heart and an attitude saying, not only am I going to change from this day forward, which, you know, could have been enough to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know. You know, only God knows your heart. But he says, no, this is not enough for me to change right now. I'm gonna go back. Anybody I cheated and give them back plus more. So Jesus knew this wasn't a little thing. He knew it was a big thing. So Zacchaeus took an action that seemed small, like climbing a sycamore tree. But the reality is that this small action was actually a pretty big deal, because it was an action that was not about Zacchaeus. It wasn't about him getting rich. It wasn't about him anything except finding, he wanted to find the truth. Amen. That's what he wanted. That was his heart's intention. And the result of this little action was salvation. And how many of you know salvation is a big thing? When we come to the realization and knowledge that Jesus Christ is the only way and we need him to be Lord of our life, when anybody comes to that realization, that is a miracle. You know it. You have family members, so you just like, they don't get it. You know, they're living all crazy and they're doing sinful stuff and they don't see it. But it is a big thing. The Bible even says that the angels rejoice. There's a party in heaven when your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's no bigger thing in the world compared to a soul being saved from eternal life. So here was a little picture, a little thing, a climbing of a tree, and it turned into streets of gold, right? He'll be there dancing. Zacchaeus will be one day. We'll see him. We'll be together. So focus on the small things you can control. See, Zacchaeus could control that, but he couldn't control salvation. So when you focus on the little things, God, and doing the little things right according to Scripture, you know, the praying, the reading, the seeking more of God, the being faithful, you know, in church attendance, because that's where we hear and learn and we come together. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. When we do these and we give faithfully tithes, offerings, and other skills and gifts that we have, when we begin to do these little things that we can control, God begins to do some big things that we can't control. That's true. I've seen it in my life, you know. When Pastor Green sent me to go find the banner, the miracle, the sign, it was a very little thing. But God did a real big thing. And the rest is history. And you have, these things are part of our Christian walk. He does big things. Amen. You need a miracle. He's, you know, the timing may not be what we like, but trust. That's what it's been about the last few months. Trust the big picture and trust him while you're doing the little picture, while you're just praying. You know, there were times I remember in my life where I was praying and nothing was happening, but I've already made a decision. It's too late. The enemy's lost. I don't care. If God doesn't move today, I'm still praying tomorrow. Amen? Amen. You know, that's like the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego mentality, right? I don't care. I'm trusting God. If he doesn't save me from the fiery furnace, he knows better anyway. You know, streets of gold are waiting for me. You know, they just never were not going to trust God, no matter what the outcome is. Till the last breath, trust God. That was their heart. And that, focusing in the little picture, no matter what's going on in your life, is important. Excuse me. So, there are small things that are within your control. Do those small things. The Bible instructs us to do each of these things because God is a loving Heavenly Father. And he wants to bless us with big things. So focus on those little things, trust the little things, and God will do the big things. Amen? Trust the little picture, the small things. Just read your Bible, pray, do a little good deed, help somebody. You know, when that person gives you attitude, you know, do the right thing, you know, turn the other cheek. You know, start letting the Holy Spirit empower you to do the right things. Not the things that that you think they deserve, but the scriptural things. Don't keep doing the same thing and expect a different result, right? You know, you can, Lord, I really need you to move in my life, but we're doing the same thing, putting him second, putting other things first. It's time to change that. You want to see God's hand begin to move and to make a way where there seems to be no way? You need to change things. You need to change our commitment, change our heart, change our attitude, change things. You know, we all know the story of David, and I'm not going to read the scripture so I can save from reading, but we know the story of David, and I want to end with this. The story of David, see, the reason God chose David to do big things, one of the reasons, and the Bible talks about this a little bit, about the kind of shepherd boy that he was. He wasn't a shepherd boy that was just out there on the field saying, like, here I am, I'm going to kill some time, I'm a teenager, you know, I have attitude, you know, like some of our teenagers do, I can disobey. When you read the story of David and his shepherd attitude towards being a shepherd, is he took it seriously. He did the little things to protect the sheep, right? And later on you hear the story about he was taking care of the sheep, and then a lion comes and he had to take care of that situation. And he took it seriously, as it was his job to do these little things that nobody else could see. Nobody could see, but he knew it was his job. And he did the little things very, very, very well. And because he did the little things well, and he did them unto the Lord. And I think that is a key to why God used him. David didn't do the little things well so David can be glorified. You see, sometimes we do things well so we can be glorified, even in ministry, whether it's a pastor or a worship leader or a you know, teacher. Sometimes we want to do things very well so that people can say we're doing good. You see, that's the wrong attitude to do the little things well. The reason we do the little things well and with all our hearts is to bring glory to God. And that's what David had. He was being the best he could be. He would talk to God out there. He was just being the shepherd boy, and the lion and the bear came, and he had to take care of the situation, and he did. And God was with him, and he knew it. Because later on he says, you know, God was with me when I defeated the lion and the bear. He actually said it wasn't him. It was God with him. But he did the little things well, and God was with him. And that's why by the time Goliath came into the picture, you can tell in his attitude, if we would have read it, you could tell in his attitude, he's telling the king Saul, he's saying, I don't need your armor. I don't need your suit. Because I've seen God work in the little things in my life, and I've seen him do bigger and bigger and bigger. And now I'm here going to go fight Goliath, and I really don't need your armor. All I really need at this moment and this time is to know that my God is with me when I'm in front of Goliath. As a matter of fact, the armor doesn't fit me anyway. You know, it's too big. I'm small. You see, David had trusted God in the little things and see God move in the little things. And then by the time he got to a pretty big thing, he was like, what are you all afraid of? Nobody understood it like David understood it. Everybody saw a 9-foot Goliath giant, and they one-on-one battle was not going to be good for them. That's all they could see. But David could see something that nobody else could see, because David fought, did the little things well and saw God in it, did other things well and saw God in it. And here was just another piece of the puzzle of his journey, of his life. So he trusted the little things, and now here he is. And he told Saul, I don't need your armor. I'm just going to go out there in the name of the Lord. And then God's going to do the rest, because I just have a feeling in my spirit that God's here right now for such a time as this, right? Like Esther said. And that is another example in your life. Do the little things well. So you made mistakes. You know, join, get in line, right? All of us have made mistakes, but you know, the people that are able to rise above their circumstances, to have joy in the storm and peace in the storm, the people that are able to live the power of God in their life no matter what and have peace and joy are the people who understand, just keep chugging along and doing the little things well. Pray, read, be in church, seek Him, be more, you know, just doing those things as well as you can. And God's going to do some big, big things in your life. Amen. And because of His attention to small detail, and David, we know the story, goes up there and he slays Goliath and chops his head off with his own sword. And David understood that God was with him in the small picture as a shepherd, and He was with him in the bigger picture. You see, last week was about trust God. There's a plan. There's a big picture. Just trust Him. He's going to get you there. And today is about, you know, while you're on this journey, in this small picture, the small things you need to do, use your, you know, your time, your gifts, and just, you know, get on your knees and ask God what the next step is. Those little things, do them well. And He's going to lead you to some amazing things. David understood that. God was with him. And he defeated a lion, a bear, and then Goliath. David did understand trust. He understood trust. And David wasn't perfect, as we know. He sinned even after this incident. But just like I started at the very beginning, something kept drawing him back to the right relationship. Something kept drawing him back. When he was confronted of his sin, he didn't go and say, "I'm king. Get out of my face." He didn't go and say, "I'm king. I don't need to hear this." He repented. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, Lord. I've sinned." He said, "Renew a right spirit within me, Lord, because I've sinned." And he begged God, "Cast me not away from your presence, Lord. What I need more than anything else is to be in your presence, to be with you." See, David, you know, the Bible says he had a heart for God. He's apple of God's eye, because he knew how to trust. He knew how to trust. He was a human being like all of us. Don't worry about the mistakes. Don't worry about the things you've done that haven't been done well. What you can control is today. And what you can control is tomorrow and the next day. Do it well. Do it well. I'm going to ask Michelle to come and play some music. It's a beautiful time, the Christmas season. It's a beautiful time to keep Christ in your life and part of just what you're doing in the holidays and the Christmas time. But I really believe that the Spirit is tugging us, drawing us, so that we're not satisfied with just going through the motions. You know, we don't want to go through the motions. We want all that God has for us. We want to do the little things well. We want to see Him do big things in our lives. We want our children to follow God. We want our children to do big things for God. And it all begins at home. It all begins one thing at a time, doing it well. Doing the little things well, they do lead to big things. You know, don't try to be super spiritual all in one day. Don't, after service today, you know, okay, I'm just going to be super spiritual now. I'm going to have this wisdom and knowledge, and people are going to have to listen to me because I'm so smart. You know, that doesn't work. It's a journey. Just start doing the little things well, and they'll become evident that you are close to God. It will just become evident to people. Trust Him in the small pictures, in the small picture. Trust Him in the little things that you can't control. God will see your trust in the little things, and He'll begin to do some big things. You know, it reminds me of a story, a personal story of mine, where I was in high school. I think it was my senior year, as a matter of fact. I think it was my senior year. And I didn't have a car to drive me home. So I needed a ride home. And I asked for a ride home, and I got a ride home. But instead of taking me home, I wouldn't call them friends, but my classmates took me to a party. And I said, no, I want to go home, you know. Nope. And the party, if I remember correctly, was on First Street in Donna, Texas. Maybe some of you were at that party, by the way. Shame on you. And it was a bad party. There was drinking. They were showing pornography. I didn't want to be there. But here I was, a senior in high school, and everyone was, so what are you going to do? Here you are. So what are you going to do? And I tear up every time I say the story, because it changed my life in so many ways. I started thinking, I only have one option. I'm on First Street and I live on 25th Street. So I can start walking, or I can stay here until someone takes me home. And so I was sitting there, and they said, what are you going to do? I said, well, if no one's taking me home, I'm walking. So I started one step at a time. One step. And I remember feeling every step I took, feeling lighter, feeling God in it. And it was a little thing, kind of like a Zacchaeus little thing. But boy, it was a big thing. I'm saying that story because I believe there's some of you in this room that need to do that. That need to take a step that, you know, maybe you're getting tugged to do the wrong thing, and it's time to take a stand. It's time to say, no, I'm going. And I remember every step I took, I was getting lighter and lighter, and I was like, something big just happened here. And from that moment on, you know, I went to school and a little bit made fun of, but in a respect kind of way. And I knew at that moment, I'm going to have to live this life. And never turn back. A few months later, I was reading my Bible and praying every day, and the rest is history. It's just God just took over. And it was such a little thing, but it wasn't. So that's my message to you today. Do these little things right and well, righteous. Take those steps. Get out of your comfort zone. Begin to do things for God. They don't have to be things that are hard or impossible, but just God's given you ability to do these things. Do them for God. Just getting up in the morning on Sunday, you know, it's not a little thing. It's a big thing. You know, just showing up on time, being responsible, being accountable, just do the little things, and God will do some big things. So that's what I'm going to ask you today. I want you all to close your eyes, bow your heads. Don't stand yet, but in a few minutes I'm going to ask you to stand. And this is what you're standing. If you're going to stand, you're making this statement. You're making a statement today that you're willing to start doing little things well. Some of you, that means you need to start reading your Bible every day because you're just opening it up on Sunday. Some of you, it means different about church attendance, or some of you, it means about giving. Some of you, every one of you are different. Every one of us are different. But by standing, you're standing up and saying, I need to start doing these little things well in my life. Some of you have been praying every day, but you're just kind of going through the motions, and it's not real. See, God sees through all of that. And I believe a week before Christmas, we come here next Christmas service, next Sunday on the 24th. We'll be here in the morning. And there'll be a lot of visitors. But I pray that all of you this week do the little things well, and when we come together, God's going to do a big thing. And nothing's bigger than a soul finding Jesus. Amen? So I want you to make a decision in your heart. And there, and everyone in this place, think of someone to invite. See, that's a little thing that seems little, but could be big. Think of someone to invite. Think of someone that you can bring with you to Christmas service next week. Think. Seems like a little thing, but oh, it could be so big, because life can be changed for eternity. Maybe for some of you, that's what it is. Invite somebody for next Christmas service. Whatever it may be, just if you're ready to do something different. Because if we do the same, nothing changes. But if we do something different, if we are passionate, and we focus on doing little things well, like David did and like Zacchaeus did, then God's going to do big things in through you. So on the count of three, and whatever it may be in your life, you just know that you gotta step it up. You just know that you gotta take your commitment to do little things well to another level, and you just know what that is for you. I'm gonna count to three, and we're just gonna sing a song and close in prayer. But by standing, you're saying, you're understanding, you're publicly saying, I'm gonna take it up a level. I'm going to do the little things well. I'm not going to ignore. God's going to be in it. And that's you. Stand. One, two, three. Stand. Begin to do things well. Every little thing counts. Every little thing matters.